Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kevin is one of the most electrifying, sought-after comedians in the world. His films, including Ride Along, Central Intelligence, Think Like a Man, have combined to gross over $1 billion at the box office. Yes, I use the B word. And in 2015, he became the first comedian ever to headline an NFL stadium right in his own hometown. Raised in a relatively rough part of North Philadelphia, he got his first taste of stand-up at an amateur open mic night. A few performances later, he won $75, and he was hooked. Soon, he embedded himself in the late-night comedy club circuit of New York City, where he began watching and learning and studying and ultimately performing at some of the top clubs in town. He has never looked back since.
Everybody has a story, and there is something to be learned from every experience. Use your life as a class.
This is Masterclass with Kevin Hart.
When I get into all the comedy clubs in New York, the Comic Strip was the only one that I couldn't get into. Keith gets me an audition for Lucian Holtz. Lucian sits in the back of a comedy club. He watches you perform. After you perform, Lucian breaks down your set and tells you if you're good enough to be in his club or if you're going to have to audition again or whatever else he may tell you. I perform for Lucian. Lucian pulls me in the office. I sit in the back. This is young Kevin Hart. I'm 21 years old. I'm in the back, and Lucian goes, "I'm going to be honest with you. I think that you should find something else." I was like, What do you mean? Another hobby or craft? I don't see comedy being it for you. Straight face. Huh? Somebody ever say something to you and you're so dumbfounded by the fact that they said it to your face? Like, this is some he should have said when I left or on the phone. You know, send that email. Like, he said it to my face. He's like, this isn't for you. So unfortunately, you won't be performing at my comedy club. Wow. All right. Okay. Thank you, man. I get up. I leave. Keith's in the hallway. He goes, "What'd he say?" "Said that I wasn't good and that I should give up comedy." Keith goes, "Ah, Lucian. He doesn't know shit," right? Keith wasn't like, he didn't shrug his shoulder. He's like, "Come on, Stoop, let's go." It wasn't even a thing. So I'm thinking that this was going to be a moment that we should be down or we should be. He didn't blink twice. I was like, why should I care? There's 12 other comedy clubs. You know what? I'm going to go to those comedy clubs. Later on, Lucian passed away. Rest in peace to Lucian. And then the Comic Strip, actually, I became their, like, feature comic. On the weekends, they always wanted me to host their show or headline their showcases. So the place that once hated me became the place that wanted me the most. Nobody knows your future but you. You know what I mean? Like, nobody can predict your outcome but you. You're in charge of your own book. That's lesson one. How your chapters go and how that book ends are all up to you. There was one minute where I went through a babysitter phase. You know, I was 13, 14 with a babysitter. I had to go over my babysitter's house after school until my mom got out of work. I used to lie to my friends, and I told my friends that that was my grandmother. I came, I did whatever I was supposed to do. I helped her with whatever she needed to be helped with. So in her eyes, I was a great kid, kind of becoming somewhat of a family member. I don't think people understand the power of trust, the power of loyalty. When you have it, you have it. When it's broken, it's broken. The one example where I learned a real lesson, okay, kids do stupid shit. This is probably in the top two dumbest things that as a group we did. We hid behind cars and we would wait for the car to come. And when it would get close enough, we would all pop up and we would all throw rocks at the cars, right? So the one day I do it, they do this all the time. The rock I throw breaks the back window. You hear the car slams on the brakes. Everybody is like, oh, we all take off. We all run, right? Keep in mind, this is a block that we all lived in the neighborhood. Everybody knows the kids around this neighborhood. And, like, the guy is, like, talking to people in the area. Like, his car is still parked. He's trying to get to the bottom of who these kids were. And when questions get to being asked, it was Kevin threw that rock. That was Kevin's rock. Like, what? We all threw the rock. They threw me under the bus. So fast. But Ms. Davis, that was the woman that was my grandmother, it got to her, and she asked me, she was like, did you throw the rock? And I said, I did throw the rock. I said, we all threw the rocks. Nobody knew that was going to happen. She's like, well, this is bad. And it was the scariest thing ever. She was like, I'm just trying to sit up here and decide if I should tell your mother or not. She's like, you do right by me. You come here, you do what you're supposed to. You've never had an incident like this. What made you do something stupid like this? And I was like, I don't know. I had no real answer. And she made me feel like she was going to tell my mom, and I was scared all day. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be bad. She never told. She never told my mom. And it f***ed me a little bit. For her not to tell on me and for her to never say nothing else about it, I took it at, like, that was her wink. That was her, like, I got you. I love you. Don't put me in a position like that ever again. You got to give it to get it. You got to give trust to get trust. I don't want to make her feel like she made the wrong choices by not telling on me. And for that, hey, you ain't have to worry about old Kevin Hart doing nothing. I made my one mistake. You don't have to worry about nothing else. I will walk a straight road. I promise you that. Kids were doing something bad. I was right there on the porch. What's going on out there? They said something happened down there. They fighting. Where were you at? Right here on the porch. Until this day, this is the first time I've even talked about it out loud. My mom right now is probably pissed off in heaven. Right now. Threw a rock at that car. I broke that man's window. Comedy can get rough. I go to New York. There's a crab fest that I'm performing at. A crab fest is basically seafood served in bulk, and they throw some entertainment. Well, they decide to stop the music and the dancing and go, okay, people, let's get ready for some comedy. Okay, this is by far the most belligerent level of hate that I've ever seen toward a joke. I'm telling a joke, and the joke doesn't work. It was so quiet, this lady goes, no, baby, no. Just give it up, baby. And I look down. You know how they got, like, the crab claw. Like, she break the claw. Like, pull the crab meat out of her hand. You start to hear people, hey, man, we just want to eat crabs. It start to pick up. Like, let us eat our crabs. Let us eat our crabs. So they didn't boo me. They protested me. I would have rather you boo me off the stage. But they act like I was stopping a good time. Like, they act like you can't eat and watch. Y'all can't do them both at the same time. It's bad when you start explaining yourself. I was booked. They booked me. They told me y'all wanted me here. That one hurt because it was a crab fest and we all got bussed out there. So after getting basically booed, I had to sit and wait for the buses. So, like, when it's time to go back. You remember that scene in Forrest Gump where he has to, like, walk on the bus and he's like, is this seat taken? And everybody's like, it's taken. Everybody was, like, moving over so I wouldn't sit next to them. So I had to sit in, like, some weird seat and just look out the window the whole trip. I remember I saw everything that trip. bus smelled like crabs. I'll never forget that shit. True story. I got stories for days, man. I'm in Philadelphia. I was 18 and just hanging out. I was working at the sneaker store, and this woman, Alice, she was like the assistant floor manager. Alice was cool as hell. She's like, I remember Alice told me, the day I met her, she was like, hey, Kev, I'm Alice. I'm a lesbian. I was like, all right. I was like, okay. What I gotta do? She's like, just want you to know, man, I'm straightforward with it. I don't want nobody figuring it out. But we would have a good time. And me and Alice would talk on my lunch breaks, and she would break down this world to me. She's like, man, you gotta come to the club with me one day, man. You gotta see these girls. They be on me, Kev. I could probably get you some girls up in there. I'm like, no, no, I ain't gonna go. You know, you go, Alice. I'm not gonna go in there. She was like, you just gotta come one time. And I went. Me and Alice went, we hung out. I'm at the club with her, but we vibe and we talk and we became friends and got to the point where I would come back to work, tell people how good of a time I had with Alice. Man, we went out, Alice took me to the bar, she took me to some gay club, man. We gotta go. Then our whole little job, we would go to the clubs and we would vibe, but they got to see my personality. They got to see how funny I was. And then they was like, Kev, you should do comedy. I didn't know how to get into comedy. Like, as much as I loved it, I didn't know the steps to take. Alice was like, man, Kev, I know a spot. They got this amateur night. I used to go there a long time ago. You gotta go. I was like, I'll go. My whole job, we got off work, and we all went down there for the amateur night. And in the crowd, it was the 7 people from my job, and it might have been like 4 other people. So my first time doing the amateur night, I got laughs mainly because it was the people from my job. But in my mind, I was like, I am killing this room. I had confidence. Whether it was funny or not, my first time on stage was a good experience because when those lights were in my face and they gave me 3 to 5 minutes, I had my head up. I had my chest out. I was comfortable. And I got off and it was like, man, Kev, yo, you were funny. And they were like, man, you got to go back. And I was like, yo, I'm going to go back. And I kept going back. Every Thursday, I went back, and then they started to do the competition to where if you won, you got paid. Like, it was like $75 for first place. And I won like 6 in a row. And you couldn't tell me nothing. I was like, man, this is it. And after I won like 6 in a row, I was adding it up. I was like, if I do this every week, I can pay my rent. I don't really need to work here anymore. So I quit. I was like, Alice, I'm out. She's like, what you mean? I was like, I'm just gonna do comedy. She was like, you know what? You should. Never said anything wrong. And I was like, thanks, Alice. And I go back to the amateur night, and they stopped it. The day I quit my job, amateur night stopped. And I was like, well, ain't this a bitch?
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade, New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
I think there's a positive in every negative. I don't care. I'll live by that. People get hung up on anger. And what I've learned is time don't stop. Time don't stop while you get an attitude. Time don't stop while you cry. Time don't stop while your heart hurts. Time does not stop. When my dad first left, until this day, I don't know the reason. I don't know the reason why my mom kicked him out. My dad was like, I'm gone. And I remember him saying, hey, look, you and your brother gonna be all right. I'll come back to pick you up some days. Y'all stay with your mother. It'll be fine. He left, and once out every 2 weeks, he stopped by, pick us up. We hang out with dad. You know, it was things like that. There was no consistency with it. Some days he say he's gonna be there, and he comes, and some days he say he was, and he didn't. It was like jumping rope. Sometimes you get in, sometimes you don't. And, you know, as a kid, when dad say he was coming, you're like, yeah, oh, okay. And you in the window. You're in the window waiting. You got your bag packed. You got your sneakers ready, everything, because dad said he gonna be here, and he coming. I remember when he would come, he would yell, come on down. You like, mom, dad here. She went, all right, go ahead. It's a chill. You out the house. He's ready to go. But then those days when he didn't, it's like, damn, dad said he was gonna come, he didn't come. So it's like, it was always a hit and miss, but you still love your dad. And then you get older, you become a teenager, and now you ain't seen him, but now you're hearing stories. And then my brother had a talk with me when I was like 15. He's like, look, man, it's time for you to know dad on drugs, been on drugs for quite some time. All right, that's why you ain't seen him. Well, damn, all right, that's it. I asked my mom, yep, it is. That's why I don't want you around him. It's a bad situation. So I didn't see my dad for a long time. I'm a great dad. I'm a great dad because I know what it's like not to be a good dad. You know, me and my dad's relationship now has developed into an amazing relationship. But for my young life, you know, it was null and void. With my kids, you know, I make sure I nurture it from the ground up. And I remember the days where my dad was there when I was younger, and those were some of the best days ever. It's something that comes with a dad that's just cool. The way that the child lights up, I don't ever want to lose that light up. So I talk, I communicate. I learned that because of the mistakes that my dad made. All the movies, all the money, all the TV shows, the stages, that's great. Nothing beats the relationship that you have with your kids.
One of Kevin's earliest breaks was becoming a regular at a Philadelphia comedy club called The Laugh House. It was there that Kevin met his mentor, comedian Keith Robinson. If you want to hear the sound of gratitude, listen to Kevin talk about Keith. It was Keith who brought Kevin into the highly competitive New York City comedy circuit. In New York, Kevin patiently paid his dues, learning how to take constructive and not so constructive criticism from the other, more seasoned comics.
Keith Robinson is the biggest mentor that I have. To this day, I don't care what Keith asked me for, I would look out for Keith. Keith saw me perform at the Laugh House in Philadelphia and was like, that was funny, stupid. The first time I've ever seen him in my life. You're not talking about anything, though. This is Keith's voice. You're not talking about nothing. You're just up there doing a bunch of slapjack, doogle-dack. That's what he says. So I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I just killed. He said, nobody knows what you said. Nobody remembers anything because you're not talking about yourself. He said, look, and I don't know what made him do this. It's just weird how God works. He says, if you really want to know what comedy is, meet me here tomorrow at 12 o'clock, stupid. I was like, 12 p.m., I was standing outside the Laugh House. Keith pulls up, picks me up. We drive to New York. That's where it all took off. Once I saw that, back to Philadelphia, I want to get in the clubs up here. So I drove to New York and from New York every day with Keith Robinson for 4.5 years. Back and forth, Philadelphia to New York. Because I had to make people in New York think I lived in New York to get into the comedy clubs. Because if they knew that you lived in Philadelphia, they wouldn't think that you would make the spots. So you had to be the first one in and the last one out. I'm doing that 6 to 7 days a week. And Keith was like, look, man, he said, comedy don't wait. These stages ain't gonna wait. He said, if you don't want it, it's gonna be somebody else that does. I was hanging out. I would go up and just watch Keith get on stage. I would sit in the back of the comedy club. I would go up and he would be at the table talking. Comedians would be laughing and that would be it. You know, it took me almost a year of just hanging out before I even got the audition. Just sitting in the back of the comedy club, going upstairs, sitting at the table with Keith Robinson, Patrice O'Neill, Richard Voss, Jim Norton, Bill Burr. The list goes on and on. Chris Rock, there's so many legends that you would see coming in and out of this place, and I would just be at the table, and they all accepted me, talked to me, and then they all got curious. Does he do comedy? Does Lil Dummy? That's what they used to call me, Lil Dummy. Patrice O'Neill. What does Lil Dummy do? Ugh. He would go, ugh. Ugh. I was like, I do comedy. Patrice would go, ugh. Ugh. What, man? I don't know if I want to see it. And Voss were like, he looks stupid. They would just trash me. They would just, all of them would trash me. Norton was like, he smells like the city. Norton said, they all just used to bash me. But it got me so, like, my skin was so thick. Like, that was the test. That was comedy hazing to see if I had what it took. Then it got to a point where I used to fire back. It was almost like Miyagi and Danielson. Mr. Miyagi never told Danielson what it was when he was doing all of that washing the floors and washing the cars. But then that one day where he goes wax on, and he throws a punch, and Danielson's shocked that he blocked it. Wax off, and he blocks another punch. And Mr. Miyagi starts doing it fast. It's like, oh, shit. I've been learning shit all this time. Like, oh, he's funny. And then Colin Quinn and Keith, they talked to the club owners, got me an audition. I passed. I was in the Comedy Cellar. Then I got into Stand Up New York. I got into the Boston Comedy Club. I got into Carolines, got into Gotham. And before you know it, I was the new guy, but that was tearing up that New York circuit. That was the biggest lesson to me of persistence pays off. Eventually, you'll crack through. And it may not happen in a day. It may take a year. It may take 10. But eventually, if you stay true to what it is that you're doing, you're going to win. For me, to see that at that age, it made me want it more. It made me want to get more. It made me work more. That's the type of attitude I had. I said, either I'm going to give it 100% or I'm not going to give it nothing. My first marriage, I got married too young. I was 22 years old. I can't even say high school sweetheart. Community college sweetheart. We hit it off. We're inseparable. It was young love. But the toughest thing about entertainment, the toughest thing about this business is there is no prediction for where it takes you. When it's time to go, you have to go. And in any relationship, it's very hard to understand being gone. It's very hard to understand coming in the house 3-4 in the morning on a consistent basis. You know, as a comedian, we're out until 5 a.m., but you can't tell a person that doesn't understand that world. It looks like you're moving on and living life without me. It's a fast-paced life, and I can say I was guilty of being caught up in the fast-paced lifestyle. I was a boy. I was an immature boy, and she was an immature woman, and together, nobody was ever wrong. We clash, we hate, we fight. And I just was like, you know what, man? I'm just not ready for marriage. So when you can make that decision, it shows that you're already starting to change. The good that comes out of that is what we're able to do for our kids. That anger is removed, so now you're better because when you're around me, you're not angry, and our kids don't see that. That positivity just shines and it lights up. The relationship that I'm in now, in this marriage, she was able to get a Kevin 2.0, a Kevin that's a grown man. I have to be different to get different. I wanted her to see what it is that I really do, see all of the hard work that goes into it, see what I'm really building. In doing that, when you're a part of it, I'm so open and honest about everything. You become in tune. And when you're in tune, you're in sync. And when you're in sync, you're inseparable because I know what you know and you know what I know. There are no secrets. My past is my past, but I'm open about it, you know. Her past is her past, I know. A little bit about where I grew up. I'm from Philadelphia, 15th and Erie, to be exact. Somewhat of a bad neighborhood, but I think with anything bad, there's good in it, especially when that's all you know. I think growing up where I grew up has definitely helped me evolve into the man that I am today because of the strict behavior that came with my neighborhood from my mother. I think a lot of the teenagers got into a lot of bad activities. So my mom kept me busy. She just didn't want me with any time on my hands from the time period of 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. or maybe 4 p.m. I rarely saw anybody. I swam from the ages 9 through my senior year in high school. And what that did was it put me in practice before school. It put me in practice after school. And as soon as you would get done practice, it would be so late that by the time you got home, you had to do your homework. And after homework, it was the bed. It was a system. It was a continuous routine that was never really broken. So I didn't have a lot of time on my hands to get in the mischief that a lot of my friends from the neighborhood were getting into. You don't know how smart your mom is until after the fact. You know, when you're a kid, everything is unfair. Now that I'm an adult, of course, I look back and I go, wow, I'm lucky to have a mom care at the level that my mom cared at, and that was smart enough and wise enough to keep me out of certain situations. I could have went the wrong way. but I kept busy. I'm a strong believer in that. My dad came to me and he was like, look, I want to clean myself up. I want to be back in my son's life. I just need help. He checked himself into a rehab. He was like, I'm in here. I'm going through the full system. My dad got clean. Got clean, like for real. Like for real, for real. You saw a difference in his appearance. Look healthy. Me and my brother are trying to build this relationship. Celebrate the fact that he's in a better position. This is good. Dad's coming back. Now, the woman that was our rock, my mom, is starting to fall apart. Oh, shit. Mom is sick. She's got two sons now. Two sons are grown men. We're doing well for ourselves. Dad's doing great. As a family, yeah, they're not together, but everybody's positioned well. It comes out that my mom has cancer. What? Mom got cancer? How bad is it? It's bad. She's been trying to heal herself for the longest time. She's been taking, like, holistic medicines, and she never went to the doctor. It was something that just got worse and worse. So as this man is getting better and better and better, my mom is getting worse and worse and worse. But she's hiding it because she doesn't want us to know. So when we find out, me and my brother are like, okay, let's go. We got to go put her in a hospital. She's doing, like, the chemotherapy. She's going through all of this stuff. But the doctor's like, we caught it too late. This is bad. This is really bad. This is where I say I'm different. There's something in me different. I don't know what it is, but I accept reality. Reality is, mom's gonna pass away. That's the reality. How do we handle this? Well, we can either be sad and mopey and have our mother see us as two sad men on her last days, or we can be the best sons ever and celebrate and just be around her and bring as much joy to her as we can. We chose the high road. As tough as it was on us, that's the road that we chose. Mom passed away. It's real tough. The family that we had, like our immediate family, we were kind of close, but it was all because of my mom. She was the, hey, let's get together for the Christmas dinners, the family. Like, she was the liaison for that. So when I lost these pieces of tissue, that main piece was my mother. So then all of that energy went to my dad and to my brother. This is our little family. That last name, Hart, right here. If we don't try to make this last name mean something, then we have nothing that's going to live on. My last name means something now, but it's because we made it mean something.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade, New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
I know it looks like I've been spitting out movie, 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 but it's not as much as people really think. The success has really come in the last 4 years. You know, I've had television shows that were picked up, and I was flown to New York for upfronts, and I was about to walk on the stage, and a lady put her hand on my chest and said, they just canceled your show. Huh? What do you mean? They canceled it. I'm sorry, you gotta go to the back. Wait, well, who's gonna talk to me? You gotta go to the back. You know what, I'm talented. I'm gonna book something. We take a different route. Now I'm going out for series regulars. Every show that they put me on, the show got canceled after I here. Yo, is it me? Am I the kryptonite? Soul Plane comes along. This is gonna be it. Soul Plane is gonna launch me. Shoot the movie. Oh, I can't wait for this to come out, man. They gave us a great date. When is it? Memorial Day weekend? What normally happens on those weekends? Do movies do good? Oh, that's a great weekend. Soul Plane was the biggest bootleg movie in history. Movie came out 6 months before it came out. People think this is a lie. This is a true story. I'm at the airport traveling to do a comedy club, and a guy comes up to me and asks me to sign his bootleg copy of Soul Plane. He was watching the movie on the plane. Like, you know, this is when the DVD players is out.
We had just shot the new ending to the movie like 3 weeks ago. This son of a bitch had the new ending on a bootleg. So here's the positive in this. Shows getting canceled, nothing's getting picked up, pilots are not working, Soul Plane gets bootlegged, movies all over. My comedy club numbers start going up. Oh, that's the guy from Soul Plane. So even though nobody went to go see the movie in the theaters, everybody had the bootleg. So now my comedy fan base is getting bigger because now people have something to associate me with. So that word no and you're not good or you're not ready, it made me bulk up to get to a point to where I felt like I could roll with the big boys that were considered to be the big boys. I wasn't afraid to take seven steps backwards to make one big step forward. And those are decisions that you get faced with. The easy road out is not always the best road. It's not. It's not always the best road. And I think, you know, a lot of people frown upon a lot of the shit that they go through in entertainment. But you got to understand, if you don't go through all of that shit, then you got nothing to talk about when you make it. If you step out the house and you just make it, what's your story? I was pissed off at this acting shit. Stand up, I own stand up. And that's when I just start slaving the road. And I built those numbers up. I would go comedy clubs all over the US, finish. Start over, do the same thing again. But I'm collecting emails, I'm collecting data. So every time I come back, hey, I'm coming back, I'm gonna be here, my crowds are now growing. So now I'm selling out. And something clicked. There was something that clicked in stand-up where I figured out that I could just talk about me. For a while, I was trying to be somebody else. Man, whatever happened when you go, man, you ever see? I wasn't even talking to my voice. I was creating something else. I don't know who the it was. But one day something clicked and I was just on stage and I was just talking and people were laughing. Something clicked. It was weird. It was like the best light bulb, like bink, and I just tapped into me. And when that started clicking and I started banging that material out, it was easier for me to create because I was talking about what was real, what I knew, what was close to me. And I remember on my Laugh in My Pain tour, when I started doing the smaller arenas, studios were then being, they became aware. They said, no, we must have missed something. This is the guy. People are, they like this guy. Because I was myself. It's bigger than confidence. It's the ability to know what you can do. Everything goes full circle. But you just gotta be strong enough and patient enough to wait for the circle to complete itself. Will Packer wanted to meet me. Will Packer, young producer. Let me tell you why Will Packer got my attention. Will Packer said, hey man, I wanted to meet with you because I see a lot of myself in you. He said, I respect you, brother, because it seems like you're doing it your way and you're making a lot of noise the way you're doing it. I'm a young producer. I started out by producing movies and selling them out my trunk. I did a movie called Twa. I funded it myself. I did it. I sold it. You know what? Ever since then, I haven't looked back. I think that there's a way for me to take these movies to the next level if I can find the right brother to star in this next idea that I have. He said, but here's the thing. I don't want you to be a character. I want to let you loose. He said, I don't think that you've ever been able to let loose in a movie. So I want to pair you with a director that can put you in a position for you to let loose. And that guy that I saw on stage the other night, I want to see that guy in the movie. And I think your fans want to see that guy in the movie. I said, did you cast anybody else? He said, I'm coming to you first. I said, I'm in. He said, that's all I need to know. Just because of his story and the way that he came up to me, I said, he's different. He doesn't seem like everybody else, man. If I'm a gamble on this movie, why not gamble on it with him? What's the movie? Think like a man. Ride Along came in after. This is my chance to do an action comedy. This is what comedians dream of. Me and Ice Cube filmed this movie, knocked this movie out the park. When they say that movies with an African-American lead don't perform, you wanna crack that barrier. You wanna break that. Think Like a Man 2, we do it again. About Last Night, I do Wedding Ringer. We do Ride Along 2, I do Get Hard with Will Ferrell. I'm not your traditional actor. I'm not your traditional comedian. I don't wanna be categorized. I wanna stand out.
There's so many different entities and avenues that can be taken that you can find success in. Everybody's journey is different, but everybody can find a great level of success in a journey that they choose. So whatever you're choosing, you know, just stay true to it. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just, are you strong enough to keep digging until that light comes, or do you give up halfway through?
Are you strong enough to keep digging until that light comes? Well, Kevin kept digging, and his persistence has paid off. Today, he has joined the elite class of comedians big enough to sell out Madison Square Garden. Forbes named Kevin the highest earning comedian of 2016, and he continues to dominate the box office with 5 number one films and counting. Not bad for a guy who started off selling sneakers in North Philly. Despite his massive success, the movies, the TV shows, the record-breaking comedy tours, Kevin remains an encouraging friend and a devoted father and husband. For the million laughs you've given us and the millions more we hope to come, Kevin Hart, you are a master.
Hollywood throws you a lot of curveballs, you know, and I think the lessons that I've had in Hollywood at a young age were such great lessons, man, because the way that I look at Hollywood is in such a, I have such a dope perspective on what it is. It's not real. It's fake. Not to say that all the people are fake, but it's fake. It's, we're gonna give you this, and this is what life is, but at any point in time, we can snatch it away. When you have that mindset, there's nothing that can bother you. And I do believe that how you treat people on the way up is very important, because if you ever go down, you're gonna come across those same people. Because if things fall, I'm gonna see them again. So you just know that people remember. They remember everything. Nothing goes away. That's the beautiful thing about memories. So you make sure that everybody has a good memory that can go along with you on your journey. See this? Look at that. Positivity. 1-1. It's my class, man. You can take it if you want to.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Masterclass, the podcast. You can follow Masterclass on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't already, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Masterclass podcast.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.